200th show, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. We are the most listened to show on the station. It's time for...
Oh, listen up. Jesus is on the air. We almost didn't get on.
Almost.
The gremlins were at work again.
Was at work. We were down until 10 seconds ago. That's Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus. And we got some show set up.
If we take the time
to ask him. And that's our buddy, Al Barbarino.
I hate this song.
Yeah.
200 times I've heard this song. It's driving me crazy. I can't stand it anymore.
Al, don't pay any attention to this guy. You know he's a loose cannon. Okay, so welcome everybody. We got a great show.
You say that every week. We got a great show.
Something a little different than the ordinary. Got a great guest. If I say your name wrong, let me know. Elias Baha.
Bahu.
Bahu.
Okay, so Elias, you're on. So tell us what you're doing and what you're all about.
Well, why don't we just make it a little more formal? Elias is the business manager for Peter's Way Tours. And this is an organization that promotes Catholic tours, choir tours, to choral festivals, pilgrimages, and clergy retreats.
Yes.
And their catalog is beautiful. I was looking at it, Elias, just before you, just when you came in here and you showed it to us. It is just really terrific.
Elias, that's a paid commercial.
No, it isn't.
Thank you very much, John.
It's really
John.
Just
welcome.
A well-deserved compliment.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me
here.
Business,
right?
Yes, he did. So my father started Peter's Way Tours almost 30 years ago.
Wow.
For 30 years, we've been specializing in custom design pilgrimages and choir tours.
So I just want to mention the reason why we have Catholic professionals on our show is so that our listeners know that the Catholic professionals have a Catholic view on things and that they have virtue and they have value and that, hey, why not deal with the Catholic professionals? So that's one of the reasons why we asked you to come on the show.
And I love the fact that you say you set them up with the person who's going to lead the tour, whether it's a priest or a choir director. Tell us how you put it together.
Sure, thank you. That's exactly right. We're an all-inclusive travel agent, from airfare to hotels, to all sightseeing, touring, and most importantly, celebration of liturgies. We specialize in arranging these for groups, specifically for group leaders, pilgrimages that originate from the parish priest or pastor or music director. And they have a vision and interest in their own parish to travel as a community overseas to some of these beautiful sites.
So what are some of the sites that
Tony,
you really go to?
Well, Tony, I was just looking across the top of the brochure. Italy, France,
but
Spain, Germany, Austria, you know.
Yeah, the only
Greece,
problem is that people don't have the brochure.
No, you name it, John.
Okay.
These are all the
places.
That's
and
right.
There's one that says Greenpoint, Brooklyn. How did you ever do that?
Well, that's one of the more challenging trips.
Tell us about
Greenpoint's my hometown.
That's why I said it.
But yes, we are destinations that we service all over Europe, the Holy Land, Mexico, within the United States and Canada as well. Some of our most popular destinations in Europe tend to be Italy, of course, visiting the Vatican and St. Peter's Basilica. And another one is the Holy Land, which is the most beautiful place in the world. And it's an incredible, incredible pilgrimage destination. A trip that you could go on with your parish and your community, and you really will be changed forever.
You know, and people would say, why should I take a trip? Why should I? I can travel anywhere. What's different about your stuff?
Well, we make it really easy for everybody traveling with us. We include all aspects of the tour. So essentially, you're paying for being with everyone on the bus, with everyone at the hotels, and it's a great opportunity to be with your own parish, with your own community, with your family, with your friends, more than just individuals going on a vacation.
And with priests.
And with priests.
Okay.
And nuns.
Now, I got a question. You mentioned the Holy Land. There are many, many people that would like to go to the Holy Land, but they're afraid because of what's going on there.
Sure.
So what can you tell us about these tours that you set up at the Holy Land?
Sure. Well, Tony, that's definitely one thing that prevents some of us from thinking about traveling to Israel,
mm-hmm.
Is the situations that may arise there. Safety is our priority. That's mm-hmm. our biggest concern for all of our groups. So we would never operate a group if we were worried about their safety there. It's amazing what we hear coming from the media and what actually happens on the ground when I speak to my colleagues there. Because right now is a wonderful time to travel to the Holy Land. Things have settled down. The number of people is traveling there is pretty low. So at the moment, there's very few lines to visit all of these sites. And you can get around the country very easily, and you'd be amazed how amazing it is and how much of a Western culture they've even developed there.
And you told us you're a Knight of the Holy Sepulchre. Tell us about that. That's very interesting.
Thank you, John. Yes, 2 years ago, I was invested in the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. This is an order that dates back to the Crusades, and it's a chivalric order under the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
Whose purpose is essentially at this point in time, propagation of faith in the Holy Land to make sure that there will always be a Catholic and Christian presence in the Holy Land.
Uh-huh. So as a knight, what's your main goal? What's your main purpose as a Knight of the Holy Sepulchre? What's your summary for what you're looking to accomplish?
Our objectives as an order is to financially support many of the institutions in the Holy Land, many of the churches. Of course, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem in the Old City, where the Holy Sepulchre, we have the empty tomb of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. So what we do now is financially support hospitals, orphanages, rebuilding of churches, different Christian communities there to make sure that the presence will always remain.
Is it a large group of people? Is it men only, men and women, or what?
Men and women, yes, okay. Knights and ladies of the Holy Sepulchre.
Okay.
It is a growing organization. We have nine different lieutenancies within the United States, so they're based on region. So here, being in New York on Long Island, we're part of the Eastern Lieutenancy, which includes Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey.
Is there a prayer life attached to it, or is it?
Definitely. We have several events over the course of the year where members get together for days of recollection, for Advent, during Lent, and different events. Different promotions or rededications of altars, churches, things like that.
So you have tours with that as the theme, as the Holy Sepulchre is the theme.
So those trips that we arrange, Peter's Way arranges for the pilgrims, are generally going overseas to Israel and to Italy. For example, those trips that we arranged for the Holy Sepulchre. Excuse me, John.
Oh, while you're catching your breath, can I tell a story on two friends of mine, Tony?
Yes, you may. But
you're right.
Never gives him an opportunity to jump in.
I was talking beforehand, and there are two friends of mine, Pat Malico and Techie Jonides. And they were, Tony and Peter, they were on a tour.
And we loved them. We know them well, by the way.
And they were standing on line outside the tomb of Jesus, and the guard was telling the crowd to quiet down and be still and so forth. Or he was going to close down the tomb. And Techie evidently recognized that the guard was Greek. So he went over and spoke to him in Greek, and he said, well, come on, let him in. And while they were in, the outside people got nervous and wanted to, impatient. They wanted to get in. And so he did what he said he would do. He locked the sepulchre with Techie and with Pat Malico in there. And they were in there for a period of time. Could you imagine what it's like to be locked in the place of the tomb of Jesus?
That's an amazing story.
It really is. I don't know how they finally got out, I'm not sure they did get out. But what a wonderful thing, and what a blessed you are to have that knighthood of the Holy Sepulchre, and that your job is to bring people to Jesus. Wow.
I think it's a big, big, big chore, to be honest with you. It's evangelization.
That's 100% what it is, and what the order is and all about.
All about is evangelization. Mm-hmm. And, our hats are off to you. John, don't wear a hat, but our hats are off to you.
Well, we wear hats, berets. Men wear berets during official events, so appreciate that.
That's okay.
What is the favorite place that people like to go? I know you said Rome, but you also mentioned a trip in Spain where people can walk across the northern area of Spain?
Yeah, John, you're referring to El Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James.
Yeah.
An ancient pilgrimage route from Europe going west towards Santiago de Compostela in the north of Spain.
And you said that you arrange tours for even younger people who will walk 13 miles a day?
That's right.
For 8 days? Wow.
Some of the younger groups, they do like to walk the way traditionally, with backpack and hiking boots on. But many of our groups nowadays take the bus from stop to stop. Make it a little easier on our pilgrims.
Yeah, because I was thinking of me with my knees, and I'd have to go electric wheelchair, 13 miles a day.
That's quite, he would.
My battery would give out, I think, not only in the wheelchair, but in me.
Well, that's certainly possible, and that's one thing that we do help many of our travelers who do have some physical disabilities or maybe more difficult to travel on pilgrimage and walk for many days. Even the tour to Italy or France and do involve a good amount of walking. So we work hard to make sure that we can include as many people as possible.
So you plan the whole tour, you set it up, you make all the arrangements, and the people that go just follow the routine and you give a guide and all that other stuff.
That's right, yeah. You'll have a tour manager who is with the group 24/7. Uh-huh. And local guides who will take the group around at different stops.
I'm going to ask you for your phone number, just in case there are some priests and people that are interested. So why don't you give us your phone number, if you can. If not, I'll give it.
Yeah, Tony, please. More than welcome to get in touch with me. My phone number is 516-605-1551, and I'm extension 12.
And you have a website, I see, too.
We do have a website. It's www.petersway.com.
Which is easy enough to remember.
Yeah, nice.
Petersway, P-E-T-E-R apostrophe S?
No, we leave out the apostrophe on this one.
P-E-T-E-R-S-way. Right. And it's at .com?
Yep. Correct.
Simple enough.
Yeah, and there you can find sample itineraries for all the destinations that we service.
And you told us that Your father began this with choirs. That's such an interesting way to get groups.
Yeah, that's right. He was himself. He grew up, grew up with the Franciscans in the Holy Land. And decided when it was time, when he was a young adult, he wanted to move to the U.S. And he had an idea about bringing pilgrims and choirs back to the Holy Land, back to Italy as well, to be able to see all these wonderful sights so close to our faith.
So he was born in the Holy Land.
He was, yes, in Jaffa.
In Jaffa.
And what a nice way for choirs to bond. You know, people, they get together and rehearse, but now they're going to spend several days together. And boy, if you're not going to bond in those 7 days, you're never going to, huh?
Exactly, yeah. It's amazing what traveling on pilgrimage will do for a community.
And I know a man who was healed while on a tour. I don't want to go into the details of it, but he had a back injury, which gave him a lot of pain. And when he came home from the tour, the back was not as painful as it had been.
Right, yes. I know the man also, it was a pilgrimage.
Yeah,
that they had, and yeah, when he went into the water, he said he felt healed. When he went into the,
I have a barber who went on a tour to Lourdes, mm-hmm. young man.
Yeah,
and they were bringing some young people along, but the one person who was to go, a friend of his, couldn't go, so they asked him to go, and he said, "Well, all right, I'll go. What's a tour? That might be a nice vacation," and he was never very close to God. So he went to Lourdes. And you know what affected him that changed his whole life? He went in the water, you know, at Lourdes.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out, he was perfectly dry.
Wow.
And he said, "Wow, how did that ever happen?" And then he started getting curious about God. You know, when you set aside time just to be with God and people of God, mm-hmm. and to focus on the spiritual life, such as on a tour like this, the Holy Spirit's there.
Absolutely.
And he'll touch people.
Absolutely.
Have you gone on any tours?
I've gone to tours, yes. I've gone to Medjugorje. I've gone to several different
To where?
Tours. Medjugorje. Now, I've gone there. I loved it. And I can tell you a lot of stories mm-hmm. of inspiration for me.
I never, but ever wanted to go to Medjugorje.
You did. Didn't that guy drive you in a jet? By the way, I want to ask you a question. Were you kidding about you have a barber?
Yes, I do.
You do, okay.
For the two hairs on my head, I get a barber. Isn't he a nice guy?
I didn't think he had a barber, that's all.
No, but, you know, Medjugorje never appealed to me. And then a friend of mine, whose wife I know quite well, and him, for her 50th birthday, he rented a Gulfstream Jet 3 plane to fly her to Split, Croatia.
Wow.
Okay?
That's an incredible birthday
present. And I always wondered, if you're flying at 42,000 feet and you're eating rack of lamb, does that count as a pilgrimage?
Well, you may lose some points. I don't know. Well, that's a very nice gesture. But how come you never introduced me to this fella? I would like
I
to
know
meet
who
him.
I introduce you to and who I don't.
See what a nice guy he is doing the shows?
Yeah.
You see what we're talking about?
You know what I liked in looking through your now Tony knows I'm very cheap. The trip to Ireland is the cheapest one. You might get me on one of those. You never know.
That's
watch
true.
Him. He's gonna look for a freebie.
And what would people do if they went on a tour to Ireland?
That's true. Ireland has a lot of value for the price. Ireland's an amazing country. We have different pilgrimage routes that we like to take within Ireland. Some of them, most recently, we've been kind of focusing on including Northern Ireland and St. Patrick, of course, where he landed, where his first church is, where his grave is in Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. in Downpatrick, which is a wonderful city. Close by is the First Church of Saul. And from there, we like to visit the cathedrals in Armagh, the Church of Ireland Cathedral, and the Roman Catholic Cathedral there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we head down, we go south over to Knock. Mm-hmm. Knock is an amazing complex of churches and just the grounds there, rosary walks and stations of the cross. It is an incredible place to visit. And, of course, in Knock is where one of the apparitions of Mary occurred.
Yes.
When Dana, who was on our radio show, was there, she was inspired to write the hymn, Our Lady of Knock.
Knock. Beautiful.
On
beautiful
a tour.
Song.
She never expected to do that.
Now, Dana was also a politician in Ireland. She was a congresswoman in Ireland, I believe, or whatever. She's very, very popular, very loving, and a great singer.
But I know a number of Irish people who might love a tour like that.
Yeah.
You know, and they get to see such beautiful country. My son and his friend went to Ireland, and they took beautiful pictures, and it looks so beautiful. My kids always want me to go. Maybe I might be interested in that somewhere along the
way.
John, we would love to have you.
Well, we'll see. We never know.
Because you're right. It is incredible. I got an opportunity to travel there one time.
Did you?
And it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
You know, what interests me about Ireland is that the Jesuits started a website called Sacred Space, and it's out of Ireland. It's sacredspace.ie, I think. Mm-hmm. And you can go on a retreat on that website.
A virtual retreat?
A virtual retreat.
And Father O'Rourke was running it, and I met him. He was over at the church in Glencoe, St. Patrick's. And he said to me, you know, John, I know you have a website. I do. It's holyspiritwithin.net, commercial. Holyspiritwithin.net. He said to me, John, I know you have a website. Would you mind if I linked your website to my website? I said, oh, sure, Father. Go ahead. You know how many people were on his website at that time? 21 million.
Wow.
And through him, I now have over 75,000 people on my website.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Talk about. I'm very grateful to Father O'Rourke and to the Jesuits and to Sacred Space. And they now also have Pray As You Go, which is music and meditations for the day. You know, and in Ireland, they're going through the same problems we're going here. The young people aren't going to church, you know. And what a nice way to get a group of young people together.
Yeah.
And take them on a tour like that.
Definitely.
You know? Well,
Knox is a wonderful place to visit.
Anybody can call you and organize a tour, can't they?
That's right, yeah. It doesn't need to just be the pastor or a music director. Also, coordinators give us a call once they have, you know, enough interest in a group tour. So airfare for a group just starts with 10 people.
Yeah.
So that's all you need to start a group tour.
Is that right? Just 10?
Yeah, just 10 people. But, of course, you can imagine the price becomes more attractive once you have some more people join.
Yeah. I'm part of one of the hats I wear. I'm the coordinator of the Renewal Apostolate for the diocese. And we have over 200 prayer groups in the diocese. It's Marian prayer groups, charismatic prayer groups. What a wonderful thing it would be if a prayer group were interested.
Well, how about if we organize one for the diocese?
Well, we could.
For all the prayer groups.
Well, we might.
That's a great idea.
You know, we'd have to
I might be interested in getting involved with that. I'd have to think.
Well, I might too.
I think I can convince you, Tony.
but it would be something very special to bring together people from a variety of prayer groups.
On a diocese basis, yeah. Bring them all together.
You know, I'm not going to say we're going to do it, but... You know, if there are prayer group leaders who are listening, and we have a pretty sizable listenership, let them get in touch with us and see if they are interested. We could pick or have them pick a tour that they would like and maybe next summer do something.
That's right. They can email us. They can call us.
Sure.
Definitely.
We have if there's an interest, we might be able to. I would like to see it on a diocese basis. Be honest with you.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I really would.
To get everybody, you know, together as a whole.
As a whole.
People from
all the prayer groups.
Different locations on Long Island.
Sure.
That's the way to do
it. And you go to Marian shrines, don't you? You go to Lourdes.
We do, yes. One of the most popular pilgrimages are Marian Shrine Pilgrimage. begins in Lourdes, which is in the south of France. And then from there, we do go across the El Camino Santiago into Spain to cathedral there where the Apostle St. James is buried. And then we go south to Lisbon, and near Lisbon is Fatima in Portugal. So that's another another wonderful location where there's been apparition of Virgin Mary.
So if someone wants to plan a tour, they could sit down with you, tell them what they're interested in. Like if we want to do a diocese tour, we could sit down with you, tell you what we're interested in doing and where we're interested in going, and you guys would set it up from soup to nuts?
Exactly. That's right.
We also have a number of Spanish people in our diocese.
Yeah.
And you go to Mexico and Guadalupe.
We do.
And
we
that would be an interesting tour. Not, I don't speak Spanish, but it would be very interesting for people who are Spanish. Maybe they came from Mexico. I don't know.
Right. Most recently, I was there this past January with the Archdiocese of New York. They had their annual priest retreat to Mexico last year.
Oh, did they?
So, I accompanied a group of about 30 priests from the Archdiocese, and we were traveling around Mexico, in Mexico City. Of course, went to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine there, and we went down to Oaxaca as well and had a nice exchange with the Bishop of Oaxaca, and he welcomed us into his house, and it was just a great experience for priests from the Archdiocese to be with brother priests, fellow priests as well, and to explore the amazing faith of the people in Mexico.
No, absolutely, that's true. Now, but when you speak Mexico, again, the question comes up on safety.
That's
true. How is that handled?
Mexico, to me, it was my first time traveling there, and I was so surprised with how things went. It was just incredible. Safety was never a concern of ours at all. The most important thing we do is provide a local tour guide. So you know someone, you have someone there who knows the ins and outs, who has the relationships to make sure that the group is in the right place at the right time.
And we have a friend who's a priest who speaks Spanish, whom we love. And I bet he would love to lead Father Larry Tucker.
Oh, he would love it. You know, he's a priest from Mexico. That's where his missionary
Mexico
is.
Mexico and Belize.
Yeah. Wow.
And he tells us quite a few stories about Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, he would love to. Oh, well, he would
he
love it.
He told us a story. I know we're going on.
Talk to him.
But he told us a story, and I know you've heard this, where he went into a mission church in Mexico as part of his work and his priesthood, where he was to say Mass, and he couldn't find the bread, the unleavened bread, you know, which is used as part of the sacramental offering. And he said to the people, he had the people waiting. They hadn't had Mass there in a long time. And he said to them, we go look, and they couldn't find bread. So he said, well, let's pray. So he opened to Scripture, and there was a story about a fish who came up with a coin in his mouth in Scripture. I don't remember all the Scripture.
I'm amazed you remember that story.
And he said, wow. Somebody go into the sacristy and open the Bible and shake it, and bread fell out, and he had bread for Mass.
Wow.
That's the kind. He's a real holy priest, and what a nice thing.
We love him.
And if anyone went on a tour with him and got to know him, they would find him very special because he's open to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
And he's very special to us. He's been on
a
few
good
times.
Priest. He listens to anyone who listens to us every week. We tell them,
We have 10 listeners.
Get
great.
A life.
We're growing. We've got the most listeners on this station. I just want to mention one thing. I didn't want to let it pass. You may be aware, you may not be aware, that today is the celebration of St. John Lateran Basilica. Do you know anything about the Basilica in
the
Rome?
The Basilica in Rome, of St. John Lateran. It is the seat of the Bishop of Rome.
Yeah.
And the Bishop of Rome is our Pope Francis.
Right. And so today is
He thought he was throwing you a curve, but you hit a home run.
You hit a home run, man. But it is the oldest basilica in Rome. And it's not mentioned very often, but it is very prominent. And I think that I was wondering, is there a reason why it's not mentioned that often? Or not mentioned at all, do you know?
I just think the three other basilicas in Rome are second fiddle to St. Peter's in size and just in how well known they are. Essentially because our Pope now is at St. Peter's and no longer at St. John Lateran.
Right.
Mm-hmm. However, those three other major basilicas in Rome have so much to offer, just amazing, amazing churches with many artifacts from the history of our faith.
Mm.
And I know in the paper they were talking about how in the Archdiocese of New York, the Cardinal has had to merge hundreds of churches. And one of the things that always got me, I love churches, and I love the windows, and I love all the holy art.
Mm-hmm.
All the artwork in those churches, can we at least make sure we get a lot of good pictures of them? You know, and that's the beauty of going on a tour, because you begin to realize that people from all over the world are the same, and you begin to see the different ways in which they express their love for Jesus, and for the Father, and the Holy Spirit, Mary. It's Tony, you really touched me with this guest today.
Oh, really?
Really. And Peter, you do very special work.
Elias.
Elias.
For him to say that is amazing. He must really like you.
I'm honored,
I've never even got a hug from this guy.
200 shows and no hug?
I draw the line.
He draws the line.
Would you give the phone number again of Peter's Way?
Yes.
I hope we've elicited interest in people to call.
Yeah.
Certainly, yes. Feel free to give me a call at
516-605-1551. 1551. Can you remember that?
516-605-1551.
Okay, good.
Got it.
And the website is petersway.com.
Petersway.com. Right. And this is Elijah's. And ask for him.
Elias.
I could tell you, he answers the phone. Every time I've called, he's answered the phone or he's called me back. He's a great guy.
Good.
Thanks, and Tony. I appreciate that.
You really are. I hope that we're establishing a lifelong friendship.
Yeah,
I really do.
I think so as
well. What were you going to say, though? You had something else you wanted to say there?
Well, I just wanted to mention that on our website, you can request a proposal for us. So if you have an idea of where you want to travel and when, we'd be happy to put together a sample itinerary for you. And we also have some listings of pilgrimages and other tours, choir tours, that are open for individuals to join. So some parishes want to keep it within their own community, and other trips we have that are open for anyone around the country to join.
So any parishes, any priests that are contemplating tours, no matter where, you're the guy they should call.
Please, yeah. We hope that we're thought of as the company to call.
I think you should be.
For Catholic tours.
Definitely. For Catholic tours, but we're also known...
But there's another side to them. Why don't you mention your other side? Non-Catholic.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, we handle many, many groups, Protestant groups as well. Many times they're interested in also singing for the Pope in Rome or going on a performance tour to Europe. Something else that is of interest coming up is in the future, in 2017, I actually attended at the German consulate in New York. They had a wonderful dinner and evening celebrating their heritage, and it got brought up that Martin Luther anniversary in 2017.
Oh, oh.
So that's something that the Lutheran Church is certainly looking at visiting Germany for. So that's just one of the events that we do as well for non-Catholic groups.
Now, Elias, as part of our show, we usually do a scriptural reflection and a saint of the day. So just sit back and relax and let us move on to this.
And John will read the scriptural reflection, who's given to us every week by a person that wants to remain anonymous.
Okay. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? For the temple of God which you are is holy. And that quote is from Corinthians. In the church building we have the tabernacle, the secure container for the reserve sacrament of Holy Communion, the body of Christ. But Christ did not come into the world to be reserved in the tabernacle. So Jesus comes into you in Holy Communion so that he may also dwell in you. Wherever you go, on tour or anywhere, he is to go with you. But how many of us prefer to leave him in the church instead? Yes, in one sense, he is safer in church. He doesn't have to dwell in my sinful life. But that's his choice and his wish. He wants to make you his temple, his tabernacle. Are you aware of this, listeners? Are you aware of his presence within you at moments of doubt, frustration, despair, and temptation? Yes, it's safer for Jesus to remain in church, but instead, he willingly subjects himself to you, listeners, and all your weaknesses. Why? He wants to give you his strength and grace, to give you himself. Leave church today knowing just who is inside you. The one Mary carried in her womb for 9 months. The one who forgave sinners and cured the sick. The one who carried and fell under the weight of a cross that contained all of humanity's sins. The one who died on a darkened Good Friday, and the one who rose triumphant on the third day after. The one who is contained, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the host you've received, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. So you take a tour, and you take God with you, and you meet him in all these places all around the world. And that's what's so special. Right, Tony?
Absolutely. Well done, Dr. Paul.
You know, I must tell everybody, well, I want to give a clue to who writes this. Wait a minute.
John,
he had
I'm begging
our,
you.
Our friend.
Don't. I gave my word.
Our friend has a beautician whose hair is done daily for him.
Oh,
her,
okay.
Her.
Okay.
I won't say anymore.
Okay, don't say anymore. You said enough already. Well read. But now we're going to do our saint. I think it's worthy to mention that the saint was selected at 7:30 this morning. Okay. I just couldn't settle on what saint I wanted to do. But for some reason, I did settle on St. Veronica Giuliani.
Okay.
And St. Veronica
Giuliani. Any relation to Mayor Giuliani?
Maybe it might be a distant relation. I don't know.
I'm
both
sorry.
From Italy.
I'm in a silly mood, Tony.
Yes,
you know
I
that.
I know. She was born in 1660, and she died in 1727. Veronica's desire to be like Christ crucified was answered by Christ with the stigmata.
Wow.
One of the very few that has been granted the stigmata.
Wow.
Amongst some very popular saints. Veronica was born in Italy. It is said that when her mother, Benedita, was dying, she called her five daughters to her bedside and entrusted each of them to one of the five wounds of Jesus. Veronica was entrusted to the wound below Christ's heart.
Mm.
That must be from the spear, I gather.
Mm.
At the age of 17, Veronica joined the Poor Clares Directory. Her father had wanted her to marry, just like so many other saints, where the parents wanted them to marry, and the children just were married to Jesus Christ. But she convinced him to allow her to become a nun. In her first years in the monastery, she worked in the kitchen, infirmary, sacristy, and served as a waitress, as a portress, cleaning the floors, washing the floors. At the age of 34, she was made novice mistress, a position she held for 22 years. When she was 37, Veronica received the stigmata. As you might imagine, life was never the same.
I bet.
After that.
Oof.
Church authorities in Rome wanted to test Veronica's authenticity and so conducted an investigation. She lost the office of novice mistress temporarily and was not allowed, listen to this, not allowed to attend Mass.
Ooh.
Except on Sundays or holy days.
Wow.
It's a little rough. To all of this, Veronica did not become bitter, and the investigation eventually restored her as a novice minister. Reminds me of Padre Pio in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Though she protested against it, at the age of 56, she was elected abbess, an office she held for 11 years until her death. Veronica was very devoted to the Eucharist and to the Sacred Heart. She offered her sufferings for the missions. She was canonized in 1839. So why did God grant the stigmata to Francis of Assisi and to Veronica? Only God knows that. Only God knows the deepest reason. But as people point out, the external sign of the cross is a confirmation of these saints' commitment to the cross in their lives. The stigmata appeared in Veronica's flesh had taken root in her heart many years before. It was a fitting conclusion for her love of God and a charity towards her sisters.
Wow.
So that's the brief story of Veronica, St. Veronica Giuliani, which I'm sure many people did not know about. And now
I didn't until you mentioned her. But, you know, the state, there are people that we know, and I know that maybe you have met, who have had the stigmata. For example, Maria Esperanza.
Yes.
Did you meet her?
No, I never met her while she was alive.
Yeah.
But I did meet her while she's been in heaven.
Yeah.
And yes, she did. She had the stigmata also.
Yeah, and there are pictures of her receiving that. It's so painful looking.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, she had them on her forehead or hands. But she had something else too. She had a rose growing out of her chest to full bloom several times.
Well, they
and
have pictures
I've
of
spoken
that too.
To an actual eyewitness of the person that saw the rose growing out of her chest.
And these are all strange phenomena,
to
say the least, and not all of them are approved by the church.
No, not yet.
You know, I met Myrna Nazur. Yeah. I went to Montreal to meet her, and mm-hmm. Myrna is from Damascus, Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And she has had a number of manifestations of God's touch of love.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, and there are pictures of it, of four times that she has received the stigmata in her life. These are not approved, but they're just other indicators of the power of how what happens when God comes into you
to your life.
In our reflection today.
And you show Jesus how much you really love him.
Yeah.
He repays you in many ways.
Elias, do you meet many of the people who go on the tours?
Yes, yeah.
What are they like?
Folks just like the both of you.
The poor things.
Old and simple.
Not at all. We all ranges. Really, we do. Our pilgrimage groups tend to have just a little bit in older in age, but we handle groups as well for colleges or universities, high schools.
Oh, that's schools. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so we do a lot of youth groups as well.
That's great.
For
do
example,
do you take them on the Youth 2000 trips?
Yeah, so like, for example, World Youth Day. That's a popular event.
Did you arrange trips?
That we arrange pilgrimages for to go to World Youth Day. The next one is in 2016 in Krakow. So that will be the next site of World Youth Day.
We had some young people on the radio show.
Yes.
Who were down to South America.
They were at World Youth Day.
The one in Brazil.
The one in Brazil. And I have to tell you, they came back hit with the Holy Spirit. Right, John?
They were changed.
They were changed.
It is.
We had the group here on the show.
Wow, that's great.
Next time when we have them, we'll have you here.
Okay.
But you know what got me about them, and I've mentioned this before, I even mention it when I give workshops. We asked them what impressed them most. And most of them said when they were on the beach.
Oh, yes.
And there were 3 million young people in silent adoration of the Blessed Sacrament.
Wow.
You know?
That's powerful.
And even as I was reading this reflection, Elias, all I could think of, God would go with anyone who takes a tour, and he'll teach you something different about him that you never knew before.
Absolutely.
And he does. You know, just by the people you meet or by the priest who leads it or whatever. It's interesting.
That's a good point there, Dr. Palmer. Sometimes you come out with good stuff.
Once a year, whether I need it or not.
Nah. I have to throw him a compliment every few weeks, just so you know, Elias. Although he never throws me a compliment.
Are you married?
No, I am not. Single.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us your credit? We'll send a picture around. I know a number of good-looking young women who look around for a good man.
I'm going to have your picture. I'm going to send you pictures of yourself here.
That's fine by me.
Yeah. Okay.
Looking for some. I hope. I foresee hopefully having a family in my future. I hope that's in God's plan.
Yeah, sure it is.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
I have a psychologist friend who says that the first half of your life is ruined by your parents, and the second half of your life is ruined by your children.
that's partly true. But your dad must be very proud of you for following into his footsteps.
Is
in
he
the
still
family
alive?
Business.
He is, yes. He is still the president of the company.
Still the president, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and very active.
You're going to get a report card when you get home. Yeah. You know that.
I know. I'm waiting for it.
Well,
I hope so, too.
It'll be good.
You're going to get a disc of the show where you can send out to your friends and stuff like that. But I'm well-voiced on family businesses. I have a family business myself, with third generation.
Yeah.
So I know how proud your father must be. It's hard enough to run a business, but it's even harder to run a family business. So God bless you.
Tony has 12 corporations, and they've all failed.
I know they haven't worked. Don't miss it then.
We try again.
That's right. And we also, I'm getting myself in all sorts of trouble today, aren't I?
He's so comical. I just love his comical antics.
Oh, and we also have a big announcement that's going to come pretty soon.
Yes.
Do you want to give a little hint?
Yeah. Okay, here it is.
Go
breaking
ahead.
News. Dan-dan-dan-dan, breaking news.
Oh, wait, I like that. Do it again.
Dan-dan-dan, breaking news. We have received our 501c3 nonprofit number. And so we will be, any day, officially a nonprofit organization, meaning that anyone that would like to send a contribution to the radio show, it's tax deductible. Anyone that would like to sponsor the show, we're going to be opening up for sponsors, and we do have a sponsor waiting.
Sounds like it.
We definitely have one. That would be tax deductible. And everything that goes on with us, with the radio show, financially, will be tax deductible.
And we're thinking of putting together little things that we could send to people who subscribe.
Yes.
Electronically. We're not going to send stuff out in hard copies. Too expensive.
Well, we'll send copies of shows electronically. Yeah. And
whatever else newsletters, we come to.
You know, your famous newsletters and stuff like that. So we're working on this now. So we're very excited about the 501c3 nonprofit. We think this is Jesus' way of telling us that we have to grow. We are going to grow. We're going to grow in the east, and we're going to grow in the west, where the sun rises and where the sun sets.
It's also Jesus' way of keeping us from becoming bankrupt.
Yeah, we've been footing the bill for 3 years ourselves on the show.
Wow. So. Well, you guys do a wonderful job.
It's fun.
It's a wonderful thing that you do here.
It's just fun. We also pray for healing for people.
Yes, and that's very important to us.
And it is very important because the listeners who listen, they really place their whole selves before us. They send us petitions, Elias, and we pray for them. And now we have a Knight of the Holy Sepulchre here with us who can add his prayers to all the things that people need. And Jesus, we put ourselves in your presence, and we ask you, Lord, would you please listen to the hurting hearts of all of our listeners? We have so many with cancer. I have one young man with cancer of the leg who was just sent home to hospice. And Lord, we ask, could you do a little miracle there? He's such a young man of faith. And we ask our listeners to pray for Joseph, who's really got sent home. I have another man who has congestive heart failure and is in very, very difficult straits. And we ask you, Lord, to touch George and help him. Help him, Lord, through this trial in his life. One of our friends, Marita Doherty's daughter, now she has lost one daughter to cancer. Another granddaughter was murdered. And now she has a second daughter who has cancer. So we ask, Lord, please, please enter into those situations and help them, Lord, to either accept their disability, to accept the outcome, or heal them. We know you can do that. And Lord, through the intercession of the Knight of the Holy Sepulchre, who's sitting here with us, quietly and gently in prayer, would you please grant a favor to one of our listeners, to all of our listeners, and help them to realize, as our reading for the day said, God goes with them and makes them a temple. Tony, do you have something?
I just want to give you praise and glory and thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to do this radio show, allowing us to pray for the petitions that we receive every day, and as John has mentioned, we ask that we lift them up to you, Jesus. We present these petitions to you. You look upon them with your mercy, and you help them, you guide them. You hold their hand, and you let them know that you are truly not only their best friend, but in reality, you are their big brother.
And I can almost hear Jesus saying to the people in pain who are listening to the show, here, let me take you by the hand. Let me lead you into my gift of true love that is alive in you. You are a temple of my presence. And so let me just rearrange your mind. Slow down that negative thinking. And let me change you from desolation to the consolation that only my presence in you can give. So I touch you, listeners, now. I touch you with my love, and I change you just by being one in love with you.
And so, Jesus, we thank you for allowing John and I to do this radio show, allowing us to do 200 shows, as a matter of fact, and we're in your hands. We'll continue as long as you want us to do it, Jesus, and we thank you. Please, please, please bless our listeners and and bless our petitions and bless John and I and our guests. Elias, who did such a wonderful job.
And Elias, we thank you for being with us. And, you know, I got a rousing song to finish, and I'm offering this for Pat Lannon. You know Pat Lannon.
Oh, Pat.
And this is
buddy.
Pat's favorite song. Ready? What is it? Guess.
I have no idea.
Guess. Come on, guess. Pat?
Hallelujah.
No.
Jesus. No.
Shine.
Shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shine, Jesus.
That's her favorite song.
Pat, this one's for you, baby. I hope you're listening, Pat. Palm is holding that song in his hand and directing it directly to you.
Shine, Jesus,
don't sing, Jesus,
shine. Fill our heart with the love of the Lord. Raising his face. There's always a way. Even if you have to hold the laptop up to the microphone, we can do it. Last Friday night, we did a night of healing on Halloween, and I turned it into a Christmas celebration.
Yes, he did.
Why not?
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, we can celebrate Christmas anytime we want. Trevor, we made it. We made it. I knew all along that we'd be on the air.
He knew. He was making plans to record it.
And thank, who was it, the guy who came in? Who was that?
Jim.
Thank Jim.
Jim Pierce.
The engineer who found that the best way to turn things on is to take the off switch and press the on button, and it works.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Trevor.
Thank you for all your hard
we
work.
We know you nearly had a heart attack, but thank you. And you know what? Trevor met Tony in the hospital the other day.
Yeah.
They were visiting patients.
Yeah.
Isn't that Trevor. Wonderful?
Trevor's a great guy.
Wow.
Yep. Elias, we'll get you a nice girl. I mean, nice talking to you.
Elias, don't listen to this guy. Elias,
thanks,
thank
John.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
It was a blessing to have you.
Thank you to your dad, too.
Thank
I
you
knew
for having
the first
me.
The moment I saw you, you were going to be a great guest, and you were.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
And your dad should be very proud of you.
Dee, 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 dee. See, when people go on tours, they sing a lot. They enjoy the music. There's community in music.
Exactly. That's what it's all about,
that's
bringing
right.
people together and
absolutely.
Closer to God.
We never thought we'd be on.
Yeah.
We made it.
When you put it into the hands of the Holy Spirit, things happen.
Remember, Trevor, it has to go to the on button.
The views
yeah, I know, you remember that. I hear you.
Do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The following...